I, the Holy Ghost, require the blood. I require the blood. Without the blood, I won't show up. Well, think about it, the people that have removed the blood from their church, because it might be what? Offensive. That was the thing that offended the disciples. They were offended over the blood, weren't they? They said, well, we can't do this. We can't go there. You want us to drink your blood and eat your flesh? That's cannibalism. They missed the impact of the words, the power that was there. Without the blood, I won't show up. I require, I, the Holy Ghost. Don't you get a kick out of that? When do you hear that? Usually you hear something, some other phrase in the beginning. I, the Holy Ghost, require the blood. Without the blood, I won't show up. Without the blood, I will not move. He won't move. He wills not to move. And we know that all the gifts of the Spirit are what? As the Spirit wills. Well, without the blood, he will not move. So what? For us, it's very important that we honor and respect the blood of Jesus, and not in a religious way. If there's religious things here this morning, I will kick it over and I won't be nice about it, because the blood is important. The blood is alive, and the Holy Ghost. And I hesitate to make statements like this. And I've said this out my mouth before. And you ever say something while you're in the Spirit out your mouth, and then you're like, who said that? And I need to stop saying that. I wish I could stop that. But I'll say that the blood is my friend. The blood is my friend. The blood is your friend. And when you can plead the blood and walk in the blood and have the redemption that we're required to walk in the blood, then who will show up? Who will move? Well, the blood is the Holy Ghost's friend. And I don't know how far to take that, because you can get weird. I think. Well, what are you going to do with things when God tells you? And then he shows you in the Scripture, even though it's outside of what everybody else wants to accept and believe. The blood is the Holy Ghost's friend, and he won't move without him. He won't do anything without him. He won't show up without him. Have you ever had a friend like that? I'm not going there without him. I'm not going there without her. It's like going in the back room with all those preachers. Would you gone in there without me? Hey, I'm here. No. Intimidating sometimes, preachers with thousands of members of churches, and they're on, they're world known or whatever. Of course, I'm bumbly enough to just go in there. How you doing? They're looking at me, how'd you get in here? Hallelujah. Did you meet my friend, the Holy Ghost? Well, you can meditate on that, but I just wanted to put those things out there, because those are the specific things. You can believe that I hear from God or not. You can believe that, I'm wacky. In the long run, I really don't care, because I have to live with myself, and I also have to live with the Holy Ghost. And if I go home and I didn't say things the way he wanted me to say it, then I still have to live with him. Do you know how this is in a marriage? You still have to live with the person that you go home with. That's what marriage is. Some of these young kids, they get married and they don't know anything about it. Well, we're in love. Really? It's not an emotional thing, is it? It's a commitment to walk and live with somebody. And the Bible likens this to our relationship with Christ. We have to have the commitment to walk and live with this person. Well, when the Holy Ghost says, I'm not going anywhere without the blood, and I won't show up without the blood, and I won't move without the blood, pretty obvious to me, if we lift up the blood, what are we going to have? The Holy Ghost. The blood is our connection to God. Well, who's the Holy Ghost? He's God. So without the blood, right? This isn't as far-fetched. It's when you put the person of the Holy Ghost in here that people get weirded out over it. But he's God. Hallelujah. So if you turn with me to Colossians 1:20, pastoring is like driving a bus. People get on, people get off, people get on, but you just keep driving the bus. Your problem is when you get off the bus and you run after them, right? Then you're off your schedule, you're not online, then people that are waiting for you at the next stop, you can't be concerned with that. You have to keep going. And frankly, this is the way we're going. And we're going to have the right people getting on the bus, and the wrong one's getting off the bus. We're not the only bus. There's only one bus in Portland. Now, do the buses go to different places? This is what you need to be careful of. Certain buses will only go to certain places. Certain buses won't go by the hospital if you need healing. Certain buses don't go to the bank if you need funds from God. Are you here? Well, we happen to be on a bus, and I'm just letting you know that we go right by the bank. In fact, we go right through the bank. Hallelujah. You got a bank-sized teller window there. We go right through there. We also go right to the hospital. We go right through there. What are you saying, brother? Because we believe in these things. It's life or death what church you go to and what church you attend. If you're attending a church and you're not covered with the blood, oh my God, then you don't have access to the power of the Holy Ghost. Would that be good in any of our lives? The power of the Holy Ghost coming in and living with us. I don't know, maybe I'm the only one excited about this, but I'm starting to get happy up here. So, Jesus is Lord. Colossians 1:20. You guys all right with the blood of Jesus? Because I'm going to say blood a lot this morning. Blood, blood, blood. I will be saying blood in church. Somehow I faint. Oh, I can't stand this. Hallelujah. You know, another thing. Another thing. It's not always the way you think it is. You know, you think with prophecy or something, it's always got to be, thus says the Lord, and the music's just right, and something else is just right, and the atmosphere is just right, and then everybody gets quiet, and then there is a shakamahandai, and then a interpretation of it, which is untie your bow tie, I think. But we need to be aware of what we already have. We have the word of the Lord. We have the gifts of the Spirit in operation. Do we want an increase? Yes. In some of the ways I'm going to show you today, we will be able to step beyond where we are and deeper into the things of the Spirit of God. Because he will move when the blood is lifted up. He will show up when the blood is applied to something. This excites me because we know that we're kings and priests and we can claim the blood of Jesus on certain things. Then we can expect the Holy Ghost to manifest. And I don't just come up here, you know, and rattle off my notes. I have very few notes, but I can hook up with the Holy Ghost and speak things that you need to hear, things that need to be said. And it's not of me. It's not of me. I don't make this stuff up. But it depends on how you receive me. If you think I'm just some guy up here making up stuff, you know, that's as far as it's going to go. I'll probably blast through it anyway, but glory be to God. I'm not as polished as I probably should be. I need a polisher or something. You got any of that preacher polish? We can market that. It's on the table, $5.95. Preacher polish. Let me read this. Hallelujah. You there? Colossians 1, verse 20. And having made peace through what? The blood of his cross. By him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him who? Now, I don't have time to go through the person of the blood, okay? But there's a whole lot of references here, and sometimes I don't want to because it seems to create more contention than benefit. But there's so many references of him, the blood that speaks, okay? And then the Holy Ghost saying things like, I'm not going anywhere without him. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Things, say things. Things. Are there any things in heaven? Yes. The Bible says there are things in heaven. Does the Bible say there are things in earth? Yes. We know there are things in earth, don't we? Have you ever seen anything in the earth? Yes. What's a thing? It's a thing. It's something you can see, you can feel, you can touch it. Right? Tangible. He's reconciled what? By the blood, all things to himself. Are there some things that haven't been reconciled unto himself, unto Jesus? Do we know this? Are there certain maybe economic systems? Is that a thing? I think it is. Has it been reconciled unto Jesus yet? No, it doesn't look like it. But the blood is capable of reconciling all things. What about credit cards? Can they be are they things? You gotta pass the steps here. Is it a thing? Is it possible that it could be reconciled unto the things in heaven? What about sickness and disease? What if you got some kind of infirmity in your body that's been bugging you? Is it possible that that could be reconciled unto him, which would be what? It would be healing. Is it through the blood? All of these things are through the blood. All things through the blood. All relationships through the blood. All things. Is a relationship a thing? Is it always a good thing? Sometimes it's a bad thing, and it needs to be reconciled. Do relationships need to be reconciled sometimes? Are you people here? What's going to do that? If we're looking for some other method, we're going to miss it. What is going to do it? The blood. Application of the blood reconciles all things to himself. If you're a believer this morning, where are you? You're in himself. You're already in him. In him. You've been raised and seated with him. In him. There's all kinds of scriptures, especially particularly in the New Testament, talk about you being in Jesus, in Christ, in God, in him. So we're going to reconcile what? To him. The things. Brother, I don't know if you just should be so strong about the blood. If you're not strong about the blood, you're not going to be, you will not have the Holy Ghost in manifestation. Do we want the Holy Ghost in manifestation? Absolutely. Hebrews 9:20, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God has enjoined unto you." Say, "This is the blood of the testament which God has enjoined unto me." What does enjoined mean? He's enjoined a testament to you. By what means did he enjoin a testament to you? Oh, hallelujah. By the means of the blood, he is literally enjoined. And if you take your two hands and you join them together, look up here for a second. You take your hands like this and you enjoin them together. It's pretty hard to pull apart if they're enjoined, right? By what means did he do this? By the blood. He's enjoined something. What? A testament to you. What testament would this be? This would be the new covenant and all the promises, blessings, and commands thereof. We have an old covenant. Now we have a new covenant, which is established upon better promises. It's been enjoined unto you by the blood. You've been enjoined to him by the blood, reconciled. And this is the problem, is we have Christians trying to walk some other way, live some other way than in him, enjoined by the blood. And anytime you try to take a step out of what you're supposed to do, a step off to the left or the right, you end up like with the compass. If you don't go in the straight line, eventually you're way off. If you're in an airplane and you're going to fly 500 miles and you're at the beginning and you're just 1 degree off, at the end of 500 miles, you're a long way off. But it's just 1 degree. But I'm doing most of the things right. And then you talk about the what ifs and but it's just one glass of wine. Oh, it's just one thing. It's just one. And I'm not getting on anybody's toes. I'm getting on everybody's toes. He said, "Get on my toes, church." We've been too flippant and too casual about what we've been enjoined unto. The living God, a consuming fire, blood that speaks. And all we've been like, yay, happy church. Happy, scary church. I'm happy, but I'm only happy when I'm in line with the blood and the things that I've been enjoined to. And that's why Christians are miserable so many times, is because they're outside of what they've been enjoined to. And what are they joining up with? That's the other thing. Most churches are like a country club or something, and that's what they're joining. Well, I wanted to be on the baseball team of that church, so I'm going to go over there. Well, what do they believe? Nothing. No, what do they believe? That's secondary. No, this is first dairy. Primary, thank you. We're serious here. I hope you understand that. And we're going to get more serious. Well, how can we make jokes? I'm not talking about that kind of serious. You can be laughing. He that sits in the heavens laughs, okay? You think God's serious about this? You think Jesus was serious about this? Talk about fully committed. He was fully committed to get this to you. Now we have to be fully committed to walk in all that we've been enjoined with. We're enjoined. We're engrafted. What about a branch that's been engrafted to the tree? You think he's pretty committed to that tree? Well, I like the other tree over there. They've got some good sap. Where are you joined up with? You need to be joined up with the church where God put you and stay there and be committed, because you won't thrive without it. And this is the day of the local church. It's not the day of, you know, the mega church. And the mega churches are going to crumble. Brother, I didn't like how that sounded when it came out my mouth. Because I'm not against great numbers. We want great numbers of people to come in. We do. But if they're not coming the right way and they're not being enjoined to the right thing, then they're going to die anyway. If you ever think about fruit, God wants the precious fruit of the earth. Did the word say this? The precious fruit of the earth. What happens if something never develops to fullness? What happens if your tomatoes never develop to the fullness? They're kept in the babyhood stage of tomatoism. They rot and they die. It's what? You're going to spend all that time growing these great tomato plants, but there's no tomato. What part do you save? What part of the, you save the fruit. You save the fruit. The fruit's the valuable part. The farmer who grows corn, he doesn't just want the blade. He wants the full corn in the ear. And the problem is, with all of this mediocrity being preached out there, they're never going to get to the fruit, the full corn in the ear, which the Lord of the harvest wants. He's not going to harvest it until it's full. So at some point, he's going to have to what? Cut it down. Remember the fig tree didn't bear fruit? And he said the farmer came and he dug around it, tried to fertilize it. And when it didn't, he said, I'll give it another season. If it doesn't bear fruit, what's going to happen to it? I'm going to cut it down. Hello? Say, I am going to be a fruit bearer. How do we bear fruit? By being enjoined to the vine. He that abides in me and my words abide in him, he shall ask whatever he will. There my Father will be glorified because you bear much fruit. He's not glorified without the fruit. Hello. Did I read anything? 9, Hebrews 9. Saying, I love that. Saying, this is the blood of the testament which God has enjoined unto you. 22. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle. Who's the tabernacle now?
We are.
You're the tabernacle. He sprinkled with blood the tabernacle. Why? Oh, so the Holy Ghost could go there. This is the end. This is where the fruit is born. You want the Holy Ghost in and on and around your tabernacle? The blood has to be sprinkled. Moreover, the sprinkling with blood, both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged or cleansed with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. Going to be in the ministry? Requires the blood. You're going to be purged and sanctified unto God? Requires the blood. We've talked about sanctification here. We've talked about being holy as he is holy. It's just not a matter of a bunch of do's and don'ts, but you will end up doing things and not doing things because of who you are and who you're enjoined to. You believe in holiness?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. More so every day. Especially when you walk with the Holy Ghost. It's his first name. Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. This has been all through the Bible. This is how God gets you back in his kingdom, is by the blood. It was how they did it under the old covenant. Now this is a new covenant. In the old covenant, they used bulls and goats. In the new covenant, the precious blood of Jesus shed once for all. Hebrews 12, verse 22. But you are come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. The city of the living God. You think you're going to be holy there? You think you're going to live right there? You think he knows what goes on there? The city. You are come. Does your Bible say this? Does it say you will come someday when you die? It says, you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. That's a lot. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits. Say spirits. The spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than they that are of Abel. Than they of Abel. Do you think this is serious? Because I wonder sometimes. I don't think we have any room for just playing church anymore. Do we? Is this serious? We're talking about the living blood of God. We're come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. And yet we casually do our church things. We casually live our lives. How'd you like to casually be fried then? We want the glory. And I'm telling you this. Even last week I said that the heat is being turned up. And there's a fear that needs to go along. Remember in the book of Acts when the Lord was in manifestation and the glory was in manifestation, there was a fear. Great fear fell upon them all. When people's eyes are being opened, just sitting behind you in a seat, something's happening. Are we still going to be casual? Happy clappy. Not that you can't be happy. It's not that you can't be clappy. But we can't be casual. We have to take the seriousness of the day and the hour. Because we can miss it. There's a lot of people missing it. And I don't want to be one of the lot of people missing it. Which means we're going to have to take this seriously. And when God says, walk, we walk. When he says, stop, we stop. When he says, go, we go. We don't push farther when he says, stop. Remember the book of Joel says, you know, that they didn't break their ranks. They marched right along, to and fro, like grasshoppers climbing up the wall. They didn't stab one another. You've been stabbing somebody else, stop it. Stop stabbing each other. Part of the same body. You need them. It's like stabbing your own arm. Like those foolish kids with the knives, you know, hey, see how fast you can do that between your fingers. Yeah, that's smart. Duh. Brother, I've done that. I know, so have I. It was stupid. We can't break our ranks. We have to be obedient and do. Appreciate the thing. Does Jesus ever talk about, does the Word ever talk about trimming something up? Pruning a plant so that it produces more? Well, that's in general, in the body of Christ. It's also personally. You're going to be trimmed up. What happened to my words that I used to be able to say about so-and-so and people? That's being trimmed up. So you can bear better fruit out your mouth. Wouldn't that be good? Brother, I don't know about this. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, verse 23, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all. We are come, to the God who is the judge of all. And we keep putting this off as if it's to be some other day, some other hour. Well, let's put it off. I'll put it off. That way I can live any way I want. No, it's now. We've come. We are come to the God who is the judge of all. If we're living right, do you understand? If we're not off to one way or off to, that's why some people leave. It's because they want to maintain an offness, which would be a sin or some other thing. They've separated themselves. And sometimes that's not too stupid of a thing to do. Because if you're going to maintain your sin, you don't want to be in the presence of the living God. And I don't want to just be preaching up here. These aren't just words. Because we're going to push into this until the point where God just is in manifestation. And we've seen just glimmers of this. And it's happening all throughout the whole body of Christ right now. But those who go on will go on to a greater and greater degree. Lord spoke to me the other day. He says, I am about to step out on the scene of my glory and manifest myself. And he prefaced it all from the thick presence. From the thick presence of God, I am about to step out. I am about to step out onto the scene of my glory and manifest myself. What kind of people are going to be able to stand that day? And people that are in the blood. Jesus is Lord. Welcome to church. Glory be to God forever. Hebrews 10:19. Having therefore, brethren, what? Boldness to enter. Now, who's he talking to here? Brethren, right? Who would the brethren be? You know, the church of the brethren. Yeah, them too. Now then, brethren. And this matters, so I want to get you on board here. Who's he talking to here? Is he talking to sinners? No. Is he talking to people who haven't received Jesus? No. Who haven't known the things of God? He's talking to the brethren. All right. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter, he's talking to people that are Christians. He's talking to people that have been baptized in the Holy Ghost. He's talking to people who love God and are following him and serving. He's writing to them. Brethren, have boldness to enter, which means they have not entered yet this. You all right with that? Brother, you're twisting my head. I'd say I'm not twisting you. I'm just reading. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the sort of holy, the mostly holy, the kind of sort of good, happy clappy holiness of the Lord. The holiest. What does that mean? When you say ist, I know we're going back to school here with the English. Good, gooder, best. I was going to say goodest. I really got to go back. Holiest. So there's realms of holiness, aren't there? All right. Maybe we don't want to go here. But there's a price. There's a cost and a price. And if we really want what we say we've been wanting, then we've got to go here. Because the Holy Ghost will not show up without the blood. He will not move without the blood. So we got to go here. Are you right? I'm showing you where the door is. You know, if you want to go through the exit door, there's a nice sign over there. If you go like 6 feet to the side, you're going to get hurt. You missed it. That's a mirror. You know what I'm saying? I'm pointing out the door. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter. What does enter mean? why did he say boldness? Is this a scary thing, maybe? Yes. Hey, you got to be bold enough to enter this place. The holiest. Wouldn't you like to have the Lord Jesus at the end of time say, "Well done, good and faithful servant, you entered into the holiest"? What do you get when you enter? You get the manifestation of the holiest. Can we live closer to God than we've been living? Can we have him speaking to us on a regular basis? I'm showing you the door. Here's the door. I'm showing you the door. Hallelujah. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. By what? By the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. Why would he say this, living? This is a lifestyle, okay? This is a lifestyle. We, you know, and you can get saved by claiming the blood of Jesus and confessing your sins, but this is a lifestyle. We don't leave. And a lot of people do. They'll enter in, they'll get their sins forgiven, and they'll leave. They'll walk away. No, this is a new and living way. What do you do for a living? We've heard this, right? How do you make a living? Once again, I'm showing you the door. A new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. I worship you, Holy Ghost. But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. The word conversation here doesn't just mean the way you say things. Does include that, but it means the way you live. As he is holy, so be ye holy. Well, we're come unto the city of the living God now. We're gonna have to live holy as he is holy. Brother, you keep preaching on holiness. Why? Because this is the last day where we need the must have the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. He will not come without the blood. Why? Because this is the way we enter into the holiest. How would you like to have the holiest church? The holiest. You know, the early Pentecostals, we were all called the holiness people. And you know, yeah, they may have got off in them because they all talked about the way they wore their hair, the lack of jewelry or whatever. And we know that that's not what holiness is. Doesn't make you less holy because you did something funny with your hair. Make you look weird. You get the bun up on top, you know, with the long hair. You never cut it. That's a glory bun. They used to call it a glory bun. Why would that be? Because they have these references. But they were accused of being holy. Did they have the Holy Ghost? They did. They had some power that we're only just scratching the surface on. They may have got off, like I said, by doing things traditionally or whatever. But they were accused of being holy. Well, you want to be accused of being holy? Was Jesus accused of being holy? Is the Holy Ghost accused of being holy? Is the blood of Jesus accused? So you're in a good crowd. Hallelujah. And we can have power too. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. But as he which has called who? You. He has called you is holy. So be you holy in all manner of conversation. Because as it is written, be ye holy. For I am holy. In all manner of conversation. One meaning of the word conversation is communion. All manner of communion. It's actually the exact same word. Communion. Conversation. You ready for this? Because I'm about to take a step and I need to do it. Okay? You getting anything out of this today? Something about the Holy Ghost that sometimes when you go into a different dimension, it just doesn't seem like the place you were before. It doesn't seem the same. And sometimes it doesn't seem right because you're not familiar with it. And yet it's stronger. You have the deeper understanding that something's stronger there, but you don't have the same feeling you had before. But something's stronger. And you recognize that. You just need to go with it. This is God taking you to a new place. Have you ever been to a new, let's say you like camping or something, and then you go to a new campground. It may be better. It may have different facilities. It may have running water. But when you first get there, it seems different. It just doesn't feel the same. And we've been too feely in the body of Christ. We've been too trying to be led by our feelings. I just noticed this, that sometimes when you go or you step over in a different realm, it just doesn't feel the same as it was before. And that makes sense. But we need to not just try to maintain the feeling when we need to maintain our accuracy in following the Holy Ghost. Have therefore, brethren, boldness to enter. It takes boldness to follow into a place where you've never been before. Take that. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, is he in the light?
Yes.
Are we in the city of the living God?
Yes.
Is he in the light? Is a kingdom of light. If we walk in the light, you think you're going to walk in the light without holiness? No. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship. Say fellowship. Fellowship one with another. The word fellowship there is the same word translated communion. We have fellowship, communion, one with another. Fellowship one with another. When you fellowship one with another, you take things on you that they have on them, and they take things off of you that you have on you onto them. That's the communion part. When you enter the holiness, what happens? When you enter the blood of Jesus, what happens? You're taking on the redemption that he gives you. He cleanses you from all sin, which is what he says here. That's the communion. Get it? There's a transaction that happens. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Now go back up to 7 again. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another and the blood of Jesus. We have fellowship with the blood of Jesus, and it cleanses us from all sin. Well, if you're cleansed from all sin by this blood, what's that make you?
Holy.
He said, have boldness to enter. This is how we enter. We have fellowship in the light. We enter into the blood, and then we're in the holiness of God. Fellowship. Is there an exchange that happens? All right, quickly go over here. We'll do this real quick. Brother, quick. You've been taking so long already. Go to Philippians 4. Philippians 4, 15. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. Say giving and receiving. No church communicated. It's the same word, communion. No church communicated with what? Giving and receiving. Giving and receiving. Say, and receiving. Jesus gave his blood. There's no communication if you don't receive his blood. Is this right? So if we're going to be in fellowship or in communion with the holy things of God, then we're going to be the ones receiving the holy things of God. When we take the elements today, when we take the symbolic broken body of Jesus by the stripes that we are healed, the way we communicate with that is to receive the benefits thereof, which is healing. When we receive the blood represented by juice, we communicate with that, the holy things of God, by receiving the benefits thereof. I began this by saying that there are all things reconciled. All things reconciled. Sickness in your body reconciled is what? Healing. Can you see here at all? Are you still here? Can you see here at all when he talks about communication? No church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you can you see that there is a financial transaction going on here? There's a financial transaction. What about heaven? Is it a poor place?
No.
There are people in heaven with needs and lacks. We've come to the city of the living God. Holiness unto the Lord. All things communicated from him. We're engrafted in to the new covenant. This is huge. Where's our supply come from? And that's what Paul says. My God shall supply all your need according to what? His riches in glory. How can he do that? He can't without the blood. He can't without the communication, the giving and the receiving. So when you're in fellowship, what are you doing? You're communicating. If you're in fellowship with God, what are you doing? You're giving and receiving. You're giving and receiving. Say receiving. Sometimes this is the part where we miss it. Do we know that God's got stuff? Do we know that God has a healing for everybody? Do we know that he has provision for everybody? Is God broke? No, he's able. He is able to get what you need in any capacity. He's not in lack in any area. Where's the problem? The receiving part. The giving has been done. He gave, he shed his blood, he paid the price, right? Yes. He bore the stripes, he took away your sickness. Now there needs to be a receiving going on to be in fellowship. 1 Corinthians 11:28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that drinks, eats and drinks unworthily, eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause are many weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For what cause are people weak, sick among you, and many die? Not discerning the Lord's body. Now, wait a minute. The Lord's body was given, right? So is there any reason? What's the side of this communication where there's been a faltering? Not discerning, not receiving. It's on the receiving side. I am telling you, God has so much for all of us. And we need to be bent on receiving by intertwining ourselves with him in the new covenant, that we may receive all good things given to us. We need to be good receivers. Learn how to be a receiver. No, I don't need any of that. How many of the body of Christ has been doing that? Even by their doctrines, I don't need that. We don't need the Holy Ghost. Even though Jesus said to wait and receive the Holy Ghost, we don't need that. And we don't need everybody being healed. Well, we do. We require it. The blood requires it. Holiness requires it. Holiness requires our mind to change and think the way God thinks, right? You know this. You feel good when your mind runs off and does something unholy? Can your mind do something unholy? Goodness, yes, we need little mental slappers. Come around, slap your head back into. You feel good afterwards? No, you feel like your mind's unclean. Brother, you're not suggesting that we can cast down every imagination. And every thought, and bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You're not suggesting that, are you? No, I'm not suggesting it. I'm commanding it. I demand it. If you're going to live in the holiness of God, you must do this. And what's the way to do it? What is the way to do it? The blood. All things. Your mind is a thing, whether we like it or not. Might be an unclean thing. But our mind is a thing, and we need to apply the blood because it will reconcile all things unto himself. I prefer it now. You know, before, you know, when you first are a believer or whatever, you try to maintain some forms of unholiness just because you don't want to let it go. Right? You think, oh, well, that's not going to bother anybody. Are you getting this? You getting the message? I mean, this is serious business. And if we really want the things that we say we've been wanting, the presence of God coming, and this has been getting bigger and thicker on me and around me, I want the Holy Ghost to come and stay. And I'm telling you, just last night, I started laughing or crying or something. I don't know what I was doing, but it was something. When he said that, I will not come without the blood. I wrote it down. I, the Holy Ghost, require the blood. It's a requirement. And you know how when God says something to you, he just, in that one moment of time, he'll just say a few words and then he'll dump all of this other stuff in there of why he requires the blood. And this is what I've been trying to cover in my feeble way today, is that this is the this is why he requires the blood, because he requires holiness. And it is our gateway, our door to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, a new and living way. I'm excited about it. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Oh, if he'd only tell us, Rich, why there's so many weak and sick among us and people are dying. This is exactly it. Not discerning the Lord's body. Do you believe it's God's will to heal everyone? I mean, this is a whole other message, but it's God's will to heal everyone, 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 everyone. It's God's will to heal everyone. So if we're properly discerning the Lord's body, how did they get healed? How was healing made available for us? By the stripes and the blood. This is what we're talking about. The stripes were made available. Now we have to have a receiving on the reciprocal side. Discerning the Lord's body. Discerning the Lord's body. Who's the Lord's body? We're the Lord's body now. This goes on. There's two sides of this coin. When you come to realize that you're the Lord's body, you're going to not put up with that sickness anymore. You're going to say, you can't be here. Jesus, I'm the Lord's body. What is that? That's holiness. That's holiness in your holiness in your body? Yes! He didn't call us to partial holiness. He called us to complete holiness. I'm reminded of Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration where his garments shined white as the light. Actually, his garments were like fuller's soap, it says, but light shined out from the inside of him. His flesh had to be transparent at that point. No sin. Say no sin. No sin. How do we get to no sin? Not no sin, like, hey, I know sin. No. No sin. The blood. It's the holiness, the holiest. All right, glory be to God forever. I hope this isn't helping you. I hope that we're lifting up the blood. I hope that we're doing the right thing here. The blood. Hallelujah. I claim the blood. I plead the blood. I love you, blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, brother, that's just going too far. How can you go too far with the blood? You know, people criticize me about that over the Holy Ghost. Oh, you've gone too far in worshiping the Holy Ghost. How can you go too far in worshiping God? This is the blood of God. I just don't have time. But this blood is a living entity. I'm sorry. I've studied this before. I've studied it for years and years and years. And you know what? The blood was instrumental in raising Jesus from the dead. If the life of the flesh is in the blood and Jesus' flesh died, are you here? And the blood was holy. It could not die because it was that holy blood that Jesus took with him when he went up to the cross, when he went up to the Father and he put it on the heavenly sanctuary. And the blood speaks better things than that. What spoke when Jesus was raised from the dead? The blood spoke. That's the greater thing. The blood spoke and Jesus was raised from the dead. That's the truth. And the Holy Ghost embodies the living blood of Christ. That's why he doesn't go anywhere without it. It's his ticket in the earth. If he needs a ticket, it's his way to get to you. And that's why the blood is so precious. And when you talk about precious, you're talking about, once again, a financial transaction. You're talking about something that redeems something else. Do you understand? If I were to buy Rich, I don't know, with a certain amount of money, I'd have to redeem him with a price. People that were in slavery, if you paid a certain amount of money, you wouldn't have to be in slavery anymore. redeemed with a price. Were you redeemed with a price? Once again, I'm not going to go to all these scriptures, but you were redeemed with a price. Glory be to God forever. Did I read all of that? 1 Corinthians 11:31. But if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. We should not be judged. We'll be going right back there in a second. Proverbs 26:2 says, the curse causeless shall not come. The curse, say the curse. The curse causeless shall not come. What does that mean? There's a cause for all the curses. If there's a sickness, there's a cause. If there's a lack, if there's a problem, there's a cause. Right? The curse, is this in your Bible? The curse causeless shall not come. All right, quickly, Galatians 3:13. Hallelujah. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Once again, here's a transaction happening. Jesus bore the curse so that you could bear the blessing. If there's a curse on you, it's been borne by the stripes of Jesus and by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care what the curse is. It's been borne. It's been paid for. Now our job is to receive. And the curse causeless cannot stay. If you get rid of the cause, the curse has to go. Go back to 1 Corinthians 11:23. Jesus is Lord. I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my what? Blood. This do ye as often as you drink, what? In remembrance of me. What is he talking about here? He's talking about communion. He's talking about, now remember the word communion is what? Fellowship. What are you fellowshipping with? You're not just eating a small sandwich and a drink. You're fellowshipping with the broken body and the blood of the new covenant. Entering into the holiest. This is the best time to judge yourself. This is the best time to say, oh, the curse causeless shall not come. If I've got something on me, I need to get rid of the cause. If you got lung cancer because you've been smoking for 30 years and God heals you and you continue to smoke, right? Yeah. I mean, does this make sense?
Yeah.
If your fingernails are bad because you keep hammering them with a hammer, that's the cause. You need to stop that. Many times, you know, the sickness will take care of itself. Do this in remembrance of me. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread, what bread are we talking about? The broken body. As often as you eat it, this bread, and drink this cup of the Lord, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Hallelujah. You show the works of what he did till he come again. That's communion. You're showing the fruit. That's what he's talking about. You're showing the fruit. Should we be bearing fruit in this church? The fruit of by his stripes is you are healed. The fruit of his shed blood is so encompassing. It's so huge. It's not to put and minimize the broken body, but part of the broken body was to get to the blood. You understand? How do you pour out blood without breaking the body? Because the blood is what ratifies and seals the new covenant. Where's he sealing it? In you, on you, and around you.